بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيقول المصنف رحمه الله تعالى: باب ما جاء أن بعض هذه الأمة يعبد الأوثان. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the chapter with the clarification of that which has come from the fact that some of this ummah will worship idols, will worship the awthan. Babu ma ja'a anna ba'd hadhihi al-ummah. That which has come as clarification, meaning in the Quran and in the Sunnah, to clarify the issue that some of this ummah, بعض هذه الأمة يعبد الأوثان, that some of this ummah will worship الأوثان. We have seen previously that الأوثان, it is the plural of وثن, and الوثن هو ما يعبد من دون الله أين كان. Anything that is worshipped besides Allah is a wathan, is a wathan. So it's general in this manner. And a sanam is something that is worshipped besides Allah, but it has a form or a shape, a statue. It's carved or made. But as for the wathan, then this includes all things that are worshipped besides Allah, even if it doesn't have a shape, even if it doesn't have a shape, like just a stone that's not carved, or a tree, or a grave, and the likes like this. This is called al-wathan, and the plural is awthan. So the author, he is mentioning this chapter, rahimahullah ta'ala, to clarify that the issues that have preceded and the affairs that he has mentioned thus far of the reality of shirk and all of the different types of shirk that have been mentioned before, from the minor into the major types of shirk, all of that has preceded, some of this ummah will fall into that. Some of this ummah will fall into that. And in his statement, رحمه ta'ala, أن بعض هذه الأمة, هذه الأمة, الأمة, أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. The ummah here is in reference to the ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And every prophet and messenger, he was sent to his ummah. And the previous umam, they have passed. And after the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the seal of prophets and he is the final messenger. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. And his ummah includes all of mankind and all of the jinn from the coming of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam until the day of judgment. Until the day of judgment. But his ummah, as the ulama have clarified, it's two types. The general ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning ummatu al-da'wah, ummatu al-da'wah, and the ummah of propagation and call, meaning all of mankind are called to follow him and to believe in him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to follow the guidance that he was sent with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of the people, all of mankind, and all of the jinn, it's an obligation for them all to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to follow his way, and to follow his way, and to follow his sunnah, and to be upon the deen that he was sent with, and to follow the clarification that he received as revelation from Allah azza wa jalla. But from those people, from this ummah, ummatu al-da'wah, there are those who rejected faith and turned away and disbelieved and rejected the favor of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the guidance. And there is another group who have responded to his call by the mercy of Allah. They have responded to the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believed in him and followed him, and they have stated that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and they have stated that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and they established the shahadatain, and they have become from ummatu al-istijaba. Ummatu al-istijaba. And this is the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who have responded to his call, meaning they are the Muslims. They are the Muslims. So what the author is referring to here is not the general ummah. not the general ummah. It's known that there are people who commit shirk, and that this is something that is known. And even in the times after the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the disbelievers, that they are upon that deen, the deen of the mushrikeen of old. But what is being referred to here, and what the clarification is concerning, is that from this ummah, and from those who ascribe to al-Islam, and from those who state the shahadatain, and from those who pray and face the qibla, there will be individuals who fall into shirk, and they worship idols, and they worship others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very important to understand, because from the shubuhat and misunderstandings, and from the doubts that the grave worshippers they spread, is that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saved from falling into shirk, and that no one from the ummah will fall into shirk after the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those Muslims will never ever fall into shirk, and they will never fall into associating partners with Allah. This is what they claim. This is what they claim from them, the extreme Sufiya, those who worship the graves, and those who are upon their ways likewise, and the Rafidah, those who worship the graves. Whenever they are refuted, and whenever the clarification is mentioned to them from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the impermissibility of calling on others besides Allah and making istighatha and seeking isti'ana, and likewise at isti'adha, and slaughtering and making a dhabih and a nadhr and the oaths for other than Allah, that this is not permissible, then they have shubuhat, and many of these affairs have proceeded, walillah alhamd, and from them, as they say, we're not worshipping them, rather we just take them as intercessors. لا نعبدهم إلا ليقربونا إلى الله زلفا هؤلاء شفاعونا عند الله. They say that they're intercessors. We have seen this doubt and the shubha and the clarification of its falsehood and the details with regards to that, alhamdulillah. But they have another shubha, and they have another doubt, and they have another misunderstanding that they try to put over the eyes of the ummah and to mislead the people in order to establish the shirk, because they are clearly making shirk with the graves specifically, with the graves specifically, and they have built over the graves, and they are calling on the graves and slaughtering for the graves, and they are making oaths and taking oaths for the graves. And other than this, and this is well known, and this is well known, and it is seen, and it is seen and it is well known, as something that they are upon, ya'adhu billah, something that they are upon, ya'adhin billah, the Rafidah, they are upon that. In their country it is established, in their lands it is established, and the Sufiya, it is established in all, in almost every Muslim land where the Sufiya are prevalent, and they have authority. They have raised the graves, and they have put domes over the graves, and they have built over the graves, and they worship the graves besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling on them and hoping in them, and they have even placed them inside the graves, inside of their masajid and the likes like this. So this is something that in reality you see it clearly. It's clear that they're associated, in reality, no matter what they claim that they are doing, that it is known, and the eyes can see it, and the ears can hear them calling on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whenever one mentions this to them, they say, they go back to their other shubha, no, this is intercession. This is intercession, this is not shirk. So they have doubts. And from them is that this ummah will not fall into shirk. From those doubts is that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ma'suma min al-wuku'i fi shirk. That it is safe, it is safe and saved from falling into shirk. And they have evidence for this that they use, and this is the way of the people of falsehood. يلبسون الحق بالباطل ويكتمون الحق. Like this, from the days of old and from the previous nations likewise. This is the attributes of the Jews, and those who follow that way likewise, they have a similar characteristic and trait with them, that they mix the truth with falsehood, and they decorate the falsehood with truth, and they present the falsehood in the form of truth. They don't come and say, oh, this is falsehood. Rather, they come and they say, look, this is truth. And therefore, they use the haqq and the, as an evidence and proof for them. But the haqq can never be evidence truly, and can never be a proof for falsehood. Can never be a proof for falsehood. But whenever a person, his light is weak, he cannot see through the darkness very well. And whenever a person, he is very ignorant, likewise it is similar, he cannot see the haqq clearly. But whenever a person has a strong light then he will be able to see with that light. It will pierce the darkness, and he will see for a long distance, and he will be able to maneuver safely bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, like that knowledge. The one who has knowledge and understanding of the foundations of the deen, specifically at Tawheed and the proper creed and the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he is the one who is worthy of worship alone, and then having clarification likewise of the different types of worship and how they are performed, and that all of them are the right of Allah alone, then a believer, he will be able to see the truth bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and he will be able to see the falsehood of the people who use the truth as evidence to establish their falsehood and their innovation. So from that is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, the hadith of Jabir, which is collected by al-Imam Muslim. So the hadith, no doubt about it, is an authentic narration, but the narration or the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, they have to be used as a proof clearly for the issue and be suitable and be proper. Some people, they use the Quran and the Sunnah as evidence, but they did not use it in the proper manner. First and foremost, it will not be in accordance with the understanding of the Sahaba, or they will say that it indicates a specific issue. In reality, it does not indicate that whenever one takes time and ponders over the evidence and the issue that they are trying to establish. From that, this affair here. Now, the narration is authentic. But does it indicate what they claim? Because they claim that this narration indicates that the ummah is safe from falling into shirk, and that there will never be shirk in this ummah, that no Muslim will fall into shirk. This is what they claim. No Muslim will commit shirk. And the evidence is the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam here in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. We listen to the narration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Inna shaytana qad ayisa an ya'buduhu al-musalluna fi jazirat al-Arab, walakin fi al-tahrish baynahum, walakin fi al-tahrish baynahum. Inna shaytana qad ayisa." Verily, a shaytan, he has given up hope. Ayisa min al-ya's. Al-ya's, and he has given up hope. He has fallen into despair. Al-shaytan. Inna shaytana qad ayisa an ya'budahu al-musallun fi jazirat al-Arab. That verily shaytan has fallen into despair and given up hope that the musallun, the people who established the prayer, meaning the Muslims from Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, will worship him in the jazirat al-Arab, in the Arabian Peninsula. That shaitan, he has fallen into despair and he has given up hope that the Muslims will worship him in the Arabian Peninsula. Walakin fi tahrishi baynahum, but rather he was going to cause rile up harm and cause trouble amongst them, and cause trouble amongst them, and putting them against each other. So this narration, definitely, it is an authentic narration collected by al-Imam Muslim. And the ghulat, Sufiya, and those who are upon their way from those who worship the graves, they use this as an evidence stating that no Muslim will fall into shirk. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, verily shaitan, he has given up hope, and he has fallen into despair that al-musallun, the worshippers, meaning the Muslims, will worship him. He's given up hope that they will worship him in the Jazirat al-Arab. First and foremost, we see here, comparing this narration with the title of the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, anna ba'da hadhihi al-ummah. What we're discussing now, that some of this ummah, the ummah, will fall into shirk, will worship the idols besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no doubt about it, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is established inside Jazirat al-Arab. Is established inside the Arabian Peninsula. But that is not the only place that the Ummah is established and the people are praying and establishing the deen. Rather, alhamdulillah, it's over the entire world. The entire world. So therefore, the fact that Shaitan gave up hope that he will be worshipped in Jazirat al-Arab, this does not include the rest of the Ummah. This does not include the rest of the Ummah. There is a whole great nation of people outside of those lands. Compared to the entire Ummah, those lands are few, or a small percentage compared to the whole ummah. We have many, many, many other countries, Muslim countries, full of Muslims. And even Muslims have spread to the other lands likewise of the disbelievers. And the ummah is across the whole world. So the fact that shaitan, he has despaired, or he has given up hope that he will be worshipped in Jazirat al-Arab, that does not mean that he has given up hope or fallen into despair that he will be worshipped in other than those lands. So therefore, the fact that some of this ummah will fall into shirk, this is still a possibility, based upon what their understanding here. But rather, it's a reality, and this is something that is known. And the evidences will come for this, and the author, he is clarifying this. So from one aspect here, we see that this is not an evidence that the Muslims will not fall into shirk, or that the ummah will not fall into shirk. But rather, what it refers to here is that shaitan has given up hope that he will be worshipped in this particular land specifically. And then likewise, another aspect of understanding this narration and refuting this doubt and this shubha, which is very weak, is the fact that shaitan, he gave up hope. That he will be worshipped by the Muslims in Jazirat al-Arab. So this is a khabar from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a narration. This is a hadith. This is information that he is informing us of, salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi, that shaitan, he fell into despair. And he gave up hope. But just because shaitan fell into despair or gave up hope does not mean that he fell into despair about will occur. This is just something that happened to shaitan. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's informing us of this, that Iblis, la'anahullah, he fell into this despair. This occurred to him. But that does not mean that Allah azza wa jalla will cause to happen. Or will bring about what he fell into despair about. And this is something that is clear and also is supported by other evidences from the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned about the messengers, and he mentioned about ar-rusul, and he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, hatta idha istayasat ar-rusulu wa dhannu annahum qad kudhibu ja'ahum nasruna fa nujji man nasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, hatta idha istayasat ar-rusul, all the way to the extent that the messengers have given up hope. The messengers of Allah. Until the messengers, they had given up hope and they have fallen into despair. And they thought that they had been belied and been denied by their nation's entirety. حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَتْ الرُّسُلُ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا. Until the hardship and difficulty became so hard upon them, until they fell into despair and they gave up hope, and they thought that they had been belied and denied. جَاءَهُمْ نَسْرُنَا. Then our aid came to them. فَنُجِّي مَنْ نَشَاءَ. And we save whom we will. So here is a clear evidence here that even the messengers, they had fallen into despair. And the situation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his book, fallen into despair. And they thought that they had been belied and denied by their nations, all of them. And then the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to them. So the fact that a person, or that there is the reality of despair, or the losing of hope, that does not mean that that issue will actually occur. Here they had given up hope, but then Allah aided them, and they were not belied. Like that, we understand here, shaitan, he gave up hope when he fell into despair, but the reality is that it occurred. That what he felt had fallen into despair about, and what he gave up hope with regards to, actually occurred. He was not correct in his yes. He was not correct in his despair. He was wrong. So this is what this narration indicates. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَدْ أَيِّسَ أَنْ يَعْبُدُهُ الْمُصَلُونَ فِي جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ. This is a khabar about shaitan and the fact that he fell into despair. But it does not say clearly or clarify that it will not occur, that what he had despaired about and what he gave up hope about would actually occur. Would actually be in that manner. And he gave up hope that it will not happen. But in reality it happened. So there's no evidence here for these individuals who use this as as an evidence. And likewise, there is another narration in Sahih Bukhari, even more clear than this, clarifying that there will be shirk in Jazirat al-Arab, that there will be shirk in the Arabian Peninsula, that it will occur. And it is collected by Imam Bukhari from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى تضرب اليات نساء دوس على ذي الخلاصة, that the hour will not be established until the aliyat of the women of Dos are moving around the al-khalasa. Aliyat is the plural of aliyah. Aliyah is the bottom, a person's bottom. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the hour, the day of judgment, will not come. The hour will not be established until the backs of women are going around, moving around from Dos, from this particular tribe, from the backs of the women of Dos. Are going around the al-khalasa, the al-khalasa. The one who is narrating this narration is Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and he is Dawsi. Abu Hurairah al-Dawsi, Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhar al-Dawsi radiallahu anhu, he himself is from this tribe of Dawsi. He mentioned after this narration, he said, وَذُو الْخَلَصَ طَاغِيَةٌ دَوْسِ طَاغِيَةٌ دَوْسِ أَلَتِ كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. Dhu al-Khalasa, he is Taghiyatu Dos, and he is the idol and the sonam of Dos, the tribe of Dos. It is known in the days of Jahiliyyah that there were major idols, and then every tribe, it had a specific idol, and it had a specific major idol. For every tribe, they had a special idol. And there are many other idols besides that one, but they had idols that were the leaders, and they were the main idols, and every tribe had one. And the tribe of Dos, they had this idol. They had this idol. Now, and it's mentioned that the place of Dhu al-Khalasa is south of Ta'if, and the place where Dos would live, and between Ta'if and Yemen. Between Ta'if and Yemen, and inside Jazirat al-Arab, inside the Arabian Peninsula. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has informed that these women will go there, meaning that Dhu al-Khalasa will be worshipped besides Allah. Then they will make shirk with that idol, and the worship of that idol will come back just as it was before in Jahiliyyah. And that tribe that used to worship that idol, likewise, they will do it again. Before the hour will not be established until that happens. And the women of that tribe, the tribe of Dos, which is located in that area in the Arabian Peninsula, they're going to worship Dhul Khalasa again. Meaning that their bottoms will be going around it, meaning they'll be in so much it'll be crowded, meaning so many of them will be there. So many people will be there in crowds going around this idol and worshiping it besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some narrations that clarify the issue that shirk will occur in the ummah. And those who claim otherwise and they use evidence for that, then their evidence is not used properly. And what they have mentioned as an evidence, as this hadith, the hadith of Jabir, it does not indicate what they mention. And this is clear. And this is clear. Another aspect, that the ulama, they mentioned the statement of Jabir, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Jabir, that shaitan, he has given up hope, or he has fallen into despair, that the musalloon in the Arabian Peninsula will worship him. Shaitan, he gave up despair. We have seen some aspects of how to refute this claim. And another aspect is that al-musalloon, meaning as-sahaba. At this time, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this, that the musalloon fi jazirat al-Arab, those who are praying and the worshippers in the Arabian Peninsula, they were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at this time, likewise, especially in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that the ummah was strong and the tawheed was established and firm in the hearts of the companions. And following the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was established, and his love was established in the hearts of the companions. So whenever Shaitan, he saw the establishment of the deen in this manner, and the firmness that the companions had upon the deen, and the manner that their feet were established upon the straight path in this manner, he gave up hope that they would worship him. And them specifically. And there's a benefit in this, and that is the fact that Shaitan, he gave up hope whenever he seen the deen being established firmly. So therefore, it is upon the ummah and upon the Muslims and upon Ahl-Sunnah specifically to establish the deen firmly. to establish it firmly based upon principles and usul, and to learn them and to apply them, to establish the deen firmly in the hearts of the family, and the heart of an individual first and foremost, and then in his family, and to establish the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his tawheed in the hearts of the children and the youth, and to establish the love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until they prefer to follow him over others, and they prefer to follow his way before imitating the disbelievers and the lies like this. And at this time, shaitan, he will not have any ability against the believers, and the believers will be firm, and the believers will be established, and the aid of Allah will come. And the aid of Allah will come. But so long as the people are turning away from the obedience of Allah, and they're blatantly disobeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and preferring this life over the hereafter, and imitating his enemy salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, then how will the help come to them? Then how will the help come to them? So therefore we see the shubha of Sufiya and those who follow their way from those who worship the graves, that shirk will not happen in the ummah. This is falsehood. And the evidence that they use, although the evidence is truth in the manner that they use it, it is falsehood. It is falsehood. And all praise and thanks is for Allah. And all praise and thanks is for Allah. After this, the author, he mentioned, رحمه ta'ala wa قوله تعالى أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالطَّاغُوتِ. And he mentioned another verse from Surah Al-Ma'idah and a hadith to clarify what he has established in this chapter. Inshallah, we continue in the next class. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.